just a friendly reminder, Thursday, 6:30, be here. We have some wonderful songs and scripture to go over. All right, we're going to be finishing up the book of Galatians today. Galatians chapter 6. Again, Paul has taught these Judaizers coming in. He's taught the Judaizers. He's taught the believers there against the Judaizers that anything of the law, anything physical, has nothing to do with spiritual salvation. He makes it very clear in chapters 2 and 3 on how the Holy Spirit comes into a person by faith in Jesus Christ. Here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says, "You see what large letters I have written to you with my own hand." How humbling to have Paul the Apostle personally write this letter down. And many times back in that era, someone would speak and someone would write down what the person's speaking, right? Which is still, it's not bad. It's nothing wrong with what they did back then. But how personal to them, the Galatians, that Paul is writing this letter specifically to them. Now, how large a letter is, there's so much speculation on that. Whether he had bad eyesight, whether he had something wrong with his, vision or epilepsy, or regardless of what physical ailment he had, the main point is he's personally investing in those believers. Having something wrong with them is a side note, but he's personally writing to those believers there. Verse 12, "It is those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that you may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ." Now you see here, this desire isn't a godly desire. It's not because they're living in obedience to Christ. It's not because they have a heart for the Lord. It's not because they're fulfilling their ministry. It's selfish, right? It's a selfish, personal desire that they get these people to do something so that they look good, right? There's no spiritual motive. Number one, it's not because it's between me and Christ that's compelling me. Number two, which is the lesser of the two, is, well, there's a need, I'm going to tell them. It's not even that. It's selfish desires, a selfish motivated desire to see something external happen to these Galatians that builds and boasts them up. Now, it happens all the time, even nowadays. There are certain buzzwords that people will use to identify with certain groups. Something external, right? Hey, here's the words that we're going to use. And fill in the blank with whatever it is. Each group has a buzzword. It's not because God revealed that to them, and if it is, it's not in the Bible, it's wrong. But it's so that people see, oh, that's who they are. Now, obviously, I'm not going to get upset if you say I am with the Way Church, right? Obviously, I'm not going to get sad at that. But what I'm more concerned about is your vocabulary a born-again believer's vocabulary? Are we talking kingdom things? Are we obedient to the Lord to see people save, lives change, just to be obedient to comfort and encourage someone? I'm not going to give you a cliche buzzword so they go, oh, you're with that church. Cool. Now I got it. Why? That would be building me up. I can market really well if I want to. But I don't want to. Marketing is good for things that need to be marketed, not the body of Christ. I'm not selling anything, right? You're not selling anything. These people here want to boast in themselves, say, oh, okay, see, look what we've done. obviously what we have is true because you can see it in their lives. As we move on down here, this compelling them to try and teach them that they have to do these things to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ, verse 13, for they themselves who are circumcised do not keep the law. They're hypocrites. I mean, James says, hey, if you're not going to keep one of the law, you're guilty of all of not keeping the law. That's what James teaches to the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, the first New Testament book written. Again, this law and grace thing in the beginning was hard to work out to the Jewish mindset. So he's saying, listen, moving forward, this law here that they're wanting to put on you, they themselves are not even doing it. Now that should tell you something, right? When you see a teacher teach something that you need to do and not following his own teachings, hello. I mean, if that's not a pretty clear sign that he's a hypocrite or a false teacher, I don't know what is. Everything that we teach people to do, we should be doing the same thing, right? Or in some way, shape, or form. If I can't physically do it, I can say, well, I used to when I was physically able. Now, so what I do that I'm not able. Catch my drift? So they're hypocrites. They themselves who are circumcised do not keep the law, but they desire, again, a selfish desire here, this desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in the flesh. So again, it's a self-seeking, self-pleasing desire that they have. It's selfishness. So nothing. God's not leading them. God's not moving them. It's not because there's a need, which is second tier. No, they're doing it for themselves. I can get kind of critical. This is another bad thing about me, is when I see a book about God and it has the author's face on it, I'm like, I don't know about that. Or I see a music CD, this will do this. And on the cover, it's songs about Jesus, but man, their face is on the front. Like, is it about God or is it about you? You know what I mean? Interesting, isn't it? I don't know, that's just me. For they themselves who are circumcised do not keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. Verse 14, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I am to the world. There it is, right there. If I'm going to boast, it's in the cross of Christ. That salvation, that crucifixion, what does the cross represent? Death. Not suffering. Suffering happened before. You die on a cross. The world is dead to me. It's crucified to me. And I am to the world. I am boasting in the fact that me being born again, which the law cannot do, again, the law isn't bad. Paul never talks and says the law is bad. He says it was good. It fulfilled the messianic prophecies. The law brought in and ushered in the schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. It was good. It was fulfilling. But now we're no longer under it. Not that it was bad. It fulfilled its God-given purpose. Thank God he saw it through. And it happened. But now we have the church body. Now we have Christ in us. Now we're saved by faith and hearing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now I am born again. Now I get the Holy Spirit in me. They didn't have that before in the Old Testament. He could come and go on prophets, priests, and kings only, and they were never sealed. We have a sealing. The law does not do that. He says, and that mark of me being born again, that mark of Holy Spirit coming in me, is what is crucifying the world to me. I want nothing of the world. Go to 1 John chapter 1. I think it's in 1 John 1. I'll find it as soon as I get there. 1 John might be in chapter 2. We'll What is this world that Paul is speaking of that is dead to him and he's dead to it? Yeah, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Here is a Bible command for the born-again believer. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, you ready? Here's what is crucified to Paul. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. The world and its desires are passing away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. That's the world. Selfish ambition, which the Judaizers were doing, right? They were wanting a mark. Bye-bye notes. They were wanting to have a physical mark to show others around that they influenced them to do that, to build themselves up. It wasn't even to say, hey, thank God, they're saved. No, it wasn't even to do that. It was, this is what I have accomplished to build me up. Man, you're good. You must be. You're the man. That's the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Me, myself, and I. Paul says, me being born again, that whole system is crucified to me. And I to it, death. Go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Romans chapter 6, verse number 6. This is what Paul wants the Romans to know. Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we should no longer be slaves to sin, for the one who has died is freed from sin. So even here in Romans 6, Paul is making it very clear that our old man is dead. It has died. All the sin that I was once in, being born in sin, Romans 5, because of me being born in Adam, that is now dead. It has been crucified. It's been killed. It no longer has power over me. The only power that the old life has is the power I allow it to have over me. That's it. But in the spirit that is crucified, it is dead. When Christ died, I died. This old life is crucified and is dead. Go over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Colossians 3, Tuesday night, we were just here a little bit ago. Colossians 3, 3. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. I'm going blank. Let's go there, Galatians 2:20. I had a me moment. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for righteousness comes by the law, and Christ died in vain. Crucified means to impale on a cross. It's capital punishment. And that crucified here has the idea of subdued passion or selfishness. Subdued passion or selfishness. This is what Paul is emphasizing to the believers there at Galatia, back in chapter 6. Now, can you imagine, out of all the teachings that you know, the problems that are being done in Galatia, again, you know, Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, that area, you get a great idea and sense of what is really, what really matters. Paul is one of the greatest examples on what it means to be a minimalist. Many times, you want to try and solve a problem, and it, you know, people have books that are bigger than the Bible on one problem. Isn't that amazing? And Paul, thank God in his yielding the Holy Spirit, says, here's the issue, and I can correct it in six small chapters. They have chapters back then, but you know what I mean. Out of all of the craziness that's happening, and he says, I marvel that you're so easily swayed. Okay, here's the deal. What do I focus on? You don't know who you are in Christ. You don't know how you become a child of God. I'm going to focus there. Once they get established on who they are, they can know how to commit and serve the one that knows them. Now, as I grow in Christ, I'm going to see crucifixion, death. The world is dead to me. I am crucified with Christ. That means you are too, and I am as well. Nothing in this society, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, mean nothing to me. And yet so many believers spin in circles and don't grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ because they're stuck in that system. It's not for you. You wonder why your life feels upside down? It's because you're living a lie. That's not who you are. That wasn't God's plan for you to live in that society, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. It's crucified to you. It has been impaled. It has been killed. You are now to live a righteous, godly life in Christ. All the kingdom blessings will flow on you. Which, as we see in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love. You know, it's interesting. Jesus says, this is what I believe is the commandment of Christ in Galatians, or maybe it was Colossians, I don't know. The commandment of Christ, he has a new commandment I give unto you. What was it? Love one another. He said to the disciples that you guys, this is a new commandment, a new quote-unquote law that God is telling his followers in the Old Testament. I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another. Why, Jesus? Great question. Because by your love to each other, all men will know that you're my disciples. Start there. Loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. The law can't do that. Joy. Not happiness. Happiness comes and goes based on circumstances. Joy. It's interesting when I read the book of Acts and I see persecution and the disciples had joy. And they leaped for joy. It's amazing. Maybe there's so much lack of joy in America. I don't believe that God's going to offer this, but I believe he'll allow it. And I think a fruit that he wants us to see in persecution is joy. Peace. I am going to be in full surrender and full control of the Holy Spirit no matter what circumstance I go through. Why? Because I understand this world is not my home. The law doesn't do that. The law looks for something else. But peace comes through me yielding in Christ going, hey, God, I am not living in sin. I am living a godly life. And if this is going to happen to me, so be it. Because as soon as I get into eternity, none of that's even going to matter. Now it's even going to matter. Long-suffering. Just having that meek, patient suffering. And being okay for as long as it lasts. Gentleness. Just being gentle in my thoughts, in my speech, in my heart. Goodness. faith. You don't pray for more faith. You already have all the faith. What you're praying for is you to not be afraid. You have all the faith in the world. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You can't add to what you're full of. Don't pray for more faith. Yield to the faith that God's given you. Goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, self-control. The law can't do that, right? You can't live in society, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, and display the crucified life. You can't do it. It's one or the other. You are positionally crucified. Amen. Thank God. You're positionally crucified. But unless you activate and live out what's happened to you, you'll be no different. You'll actually be worse off. You'll be tail spinning. And then you're going to want medicine. I'm for medicine. That is the last thing you should ask to be put on. I'm for medicine. It is the last thing a born-again believer. What you're doing is dumbing down your mind so that you're not obedient to the cause of Christ. You don't want to give up your rights. When you live a crucified life, you don't need medicine. That's obvious there's something medical wrong, amen? If there's literally a chemical imbalance, have medicine. But if it's because I'm depressed, you've lost all hope, you're confused, that requires yielding. That requires you not getting what you want. If you're sad, that requires you getting the Bible and allowing the Holy Spirit to comfort you. A crucified life has freed you from sin. You know what comes with sin? Sadness, anger, wrath, mischievousness, evil speaking, evil communication. And if I'm doing that, I am not living in my position on the crucified life. That stuff's dead to me. Christ, if I feel those or have those in the flesh, I am walking in the flesh. You can say I read my Bible. You can say I go to church. You can say I do all these things. But your heart shows and dictates what's truly happening in your life. The Galatians were babes in Christ. And the group took advantage of them. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Taking advantage of someone's innocence. Brainwashing them to think a certain way. These young believers in Christ got swayed. That's one thing. Maybe I have to do some self-examination on if I'm being swayed like a young believer, no matter how long I've been saved, or how long I've gone to a church service, maybe I'm a young believer too. Maybe I'm not going to grow until I confess that and say, I am young. I am spiritually a babe in Christ, but I don't want to be. I don't want to be. I want these thoughts to go away. I will surrender. I will yield. I will put my life to Christ. I will do these things. And I set myself up for success, right? Getting with someone to teach me that. Confessing it, 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sin, God, I don't trust you. I believe in you for salvation, but I don't trust you, God. Because I'm looking at my life. And he's saying, yeah, your life is not your own. You're bound to Christ. You're the temple of God now. Forget what you see. You're living for what you cannot see. Isn't that amazing? I'm crucified with Christ. And that is a shift in the thought process. For in Christ Jesus, verse 15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but a new creation. Now there's the hope, right? Now we can go somewhere. The world's crucified to me, but now that doesn't matter what you see and the laws and you know you do this and you do that, all the legalistic stuff. What matters is you are a new creature. You're a new creation. Man, thank God. How does that happen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go ahead and go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. This is how you become a new creature or a new creation. All right? Not everyone's a new creature. Not everyone's a new creation. But this is the hope that we have. This is now. Here's the happy part. Here's the encouraging part. Here's the uplifting part. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, we won't get into therefore. We'll just go on to moving forward for. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, that's what Paul, that's the whole message of Galatians. You are in Christ. He says, you become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Yippee! Man, that's wonderful. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creature. All things have passed away. Look, all things have become new. How awesome is that? All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We won't get into that, but here's the point I'm making, is that in Christ, I am a new creature. Not the law, not the legalist, not the things I have to do to be a Christian. None of that matters. Faith in Jesus crucifies the world to me, and I did it, and I am now moving forward in my new life in Christ. That's where the hope comes in. When I release any desire to be in the world, and I just totally consume myself with Jesus Christ, everything that I'm looking for in the world that I will never achieve comes supernaturally in Jesus Christ. I had to be cut off. You want love, you want acceptance, you want joy, you want peace, you want all that. You have it positionally, but you got to now go forward in Jesus. That's the hope that we have. That's the hope that the Galatians have. Hey, you want to have what a believer looks like? That is your position in Jesus Christ. There are many things that happen when Christ comes to the earth. Many things that Christ is doing and all that. Being the messianic prophet to come in, the prophet, priest, and king, coming into his own. The Jews at the same time being a light to the Gentiles. Knowing that I'm gonna allow myself to present myself as a Jewish king, knowing they're going to deny me. And in that denial, I'm going to die for the sins of mankind. So that, here's Romans, I believe it's in chapter 9 and 10. Of chapter 9. But Jew and Gentile come together in Jesus Christ. That's how it's done. That's the Christmas story. All peoples coming together, only in one way, the way. Jesus Christ. Man, how cool. When you think about it, that babe in a manger, growing up, doing everything perfect. Can you imagine a perfect child? Whew, I'd love to see that. That kids are close. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Messiah. To behold that, to never have to punish a child for doing wrong. Mary, did you know? I don't think she did. And to watch it play out before him. On that cross. Tumbling. Seeing so many things happen at one time. On that cross. Prophecy has come true. The Messiah has been crucified. David's psalm of him being speared in the side. All this is happening. Light to the Gentiles. Salvation in Jesus. And now moving forward, everything that every religion, including the law, could not do is now done. And he's given them simple instructions. Simple. For the Galatians, as babes in Christ, this is who you are. This is how you attain that in Jesus. When that happens, the world is now positionally crucified to you. live out that life of it being crucified. Don't get caught up in it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You're a new creation. You are a new creature. I can't imagine to not belong to anything or anybody. I can't imagine what that would mean to someone to know they are a child of God in God's kingdom now. You see the simplicity of truth he's saying to a group of people going through so much? It's the simple truth that he's giving that means so much to them because in the context, they had nothing. So if you're saying, I am an heir of Christ, I am an heir of Abraham through Jesus, I have a belonging, I have an acceptance, I want to live out this new creation in Christ. I desire that. And over time, Satan has done a fantastic job of getting believers' minds off of that simple truth. We cry, we whine, but we're uncomfortable. Can you imagine what it meant to someone who had no sense of belonging to say, hey, you're an heir and a child of God, my friend, through Jesus. Old things have been passed away. What you used to be and what you have done and what you did do no longer matters. You're a new creature in creation in Christ. Go that way. You have that ability. Man, what that meant. I can see some joy there. I'm not looking for my identity and my career and what I've done, my college degree, and my family, and my friends, and society, and my retirement, and fill in the blank. That's what's all crucified to me. All my accomplishments for me to do a good job, to get what I wanted, it's all dead. Now, I'm not saying don't get education. I'm not saying that. But it's crucified to me. What consumes me now is my new creation in Christ. Back to Galatians, so we can close this wonderful book. Verse 16, peace and mercy be on all who walk according to this rule and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brothers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. Amen. Even on Paul's first missionary journey, he was stoned in this area. Thought he was dead. They drug him out of the city. They thought he was dead. And the disciples are looking down thinking, holy smokes, this is our first trip out giving the gospel. And Paul's already dead. And he gets up. He dusts the dirt off his body. And he quits. He goes to the next town and does the same exact thing that got him stoned. Can I take a stoning and wake up and do that? If I have a crucified life mindset, I can. If I live a life for this world, this society, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is dead to me, I can. But if I don't, then I won't. So many things happened when Christ came on the earth with a perfect sinless life, died on that cross and rose again. So much that we don't even have time to get into happened. This Christmas, instead of looking at a baby in a manger, I'm going to be focusing on me being crucified to the world and the world being crucified to me and just soaking and bathing in my faith in Jesus Christ. Man, that's awesome. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, thank you for the book of Galatians and this wonderful, amazing truth. How encouraging. I can't imagine what it would be like for these citizens to get this letter. What an encouragement it would be to them. Some clarity on who you are and their ability to move forward in Christ as a new creature, a new creation. It would allow our hearts and minds to do the same thing. Allow us not to look at the do's and don'ts of quote-unquote Christianity. Let us just soak and be focused in on my new position in Christ, being an heir to the Father, and this world be crucified to me with the ability to live out this Spirit-filled life and the fruit of the Spirit being seen in me. Lord, I pray that you bless our fellowship after our service. I pray that you would bless the food to our body, that you would allow us to be back safely on Thursday night, and that we would just on Christmas Day just be grateful and thankful for that gift of Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.